recording? This is going to be a fairly long and weird recording otherwise.
Thanks. This is that's December 15th, 2022, meeting of the Tucson Industrial Development Authority. Tucson IDA enables strategic, economic, and community development by providing financing and access to capital for projects and programs that benefit a thriving Tucson.
That's roll call. Like him.
Meredith Aronson.
Sandra Barton.
Judy Klinko.
Monica, could you confirm you're on?
Present.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Are we good for that? We don't need to do everybody, or do we?
No, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
Next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes. I call for approval of the minutes of November 17th, 2022.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Judy Klinko. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right. Call for the approval of the minutes for the special meeting of December 9th, 2022. A motion from?
Motion.
Judy Klinko. Second from?
Second.
Monica, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving forward. I believe the next item is the CEO update and status report, and I'll pass it over to Dre.
All right. Thank you so much. So wanted to take a minute to celebrate our tentative approving of the largest affordable housing bond in Tucson IDA history. This is really, really huge. We got it done. They were able to submit the paperwork, which was due today. So very, very exciting that we were able to come through for our partners at the City of Tucson. And we'll find out on Monday through the lottery whether we get it, but all systems are go for that. So our prior record was $32 million in 2002. So this is very, very exciting for us and for the city, and a very a great project for our community. Very excited. Also wanted to share with you the fantastic news that at the State of the City on December 1st, the mayor announced the Transform Tucson Fund, which is in collaboration with the City of Tucson to invest in a more equitable, dynamic, and sustainable economy, and the announcing of our AFANSA Fund for underrepresented entrepreneurs, and the intention to capitalize that with $1.5 million. And so we're very, very excited to be able to have that big announcement and the participation of the city at such a strong level. So that was really, really exciting, and lots of calls coming in wanting to know more about this from all over the country now. So very excited. As part of the Transform Tucson Fund, it was in our annual report, which was from last month, so I can send that around again, but wanted to just kind of the high level pieces focusing on an economic inclusion with the AFANSA Impact Fund, sustainability, launching Arizona's first green bank, affordable housing, our down payment assistance programs and related grant programs, and then equitable development. So a community builder accelerator and fund. And this includes just a variety of different programs to really help more folks get engaged with the building and shaping of our communities. So the next steps on these programs, AFANSA is set to launch in March of 2023. We are going to be doing additional fundraising around this, building partnerships. We're going to be doing loan committee recruitment. So these are all things that I would love you to keep in mind if you have individuals that you think would be a strong loan committee reviews for our sort of community-based loan committee. Please feel free to forward those to me. We're going to be doing web development. We've been working with Presta for the launch of our underwriting software, so that's very exciting. We're doing marketing and outreach, and then we'll be onboarding a small business champion who will be doing a lot of the entrepreneurial support for those companies. We are with our Green Bank. We're coordinating with the City of Tucson Climate Plan release in January. So they are building the plan and we're building ways to finance the plan. There's a number of grants that are coming out in January. We received the notice and letter of intent for those. So we are actively meeting with community partners who can, so that we can move quickly to respond to those. And we are continuing to plan to launch our pooled bond fund. We are looking for additional resources and in communication with a couple different partners who may be able to support on that. Our down payment assistance, we are looking and in communication to potentially increase the essential workers housing fund to $10,000 in the new year. We are continuing to do additional fundraising around that program. And I will talk about a little bit later some additional grant projects or products that we could add to our down payment assistance. And we are also building, and Wendy has been writing a Spanish language home buyer education course to really focus on what is a really strong one of our most key participants in our home buyer programs, which is the first time Latino home buyers. Community Builder and Accelerator Fund, we are looking to, these are a little bit more in the pilot stage. We're kind of percolating on a number of ideas of how we might be able to support sort of an accelerator educational program for diverse developers who are interested in becoming developers, and in early discussions around a pre-development lending program to help support some of the pre-development costs. November, essential workers housing update. November was not great, but then the first week of December, we had a ton. So next month will be a lot stronger with our new product, especially. I put that in my board notes that our new PTHS Advantage program throughout December has been extremely robust. So a lot of people have been using that. And so very excited to report that the quick action on the part of the board to put this new program into place has been really effective. But we'll see those more in the December reports. I was just speaking at a conference today about diversity in home ownership. And so we're really excited to share this program with a number of home buyers and lenders and realtors this afternoon. Okay. So lots of great things, but also, we are in a crazy, crazy, crazy historical time. This is a document that goes back to February of 2013. And you can see there's a direct correlation as the 10-year treasury rate rises, the loan origination goes down significantly. And so we are at sort of a very historical moment for the 10-year treasury rate, and our numbers are reflective of that. So I want to, again, we put in the PTHS Advantage, but I want to be even more responsive and think about what are additional things that we can be doing to shore up this program that has been essential to our organization. I've come up with a couple of solutions that we can discuss, and we can talk a bit more about it in the coming weeks and months. But I just wanted to float those with you. So one, and this is where I'm going to potentially call on Steve Ball, our friend Scott over here. One of the ideas is to move. Currently, we're using something that's called table funded. CIC is holding our funds for us and dispersing it. We're sort of unique. There's really only two programs in the country that operate like ours do. So it's becoming increasingly difficult for CIC to be able to use this method because they are paid by volume. And since we're at a very low volume, it's really cutting into, they're actually losing money by doing the table funding right now. So they said, essentially we need to consider a different type of payment schedule or arrangement with CIC. Or we could move to something which is more programs, which is lender funded. So essentially the lender would forward the money, US Bank would be, the lender would be reimbursed by US Bank, and then US Bank would be reimbursed by the sale of the mortgages in the secondary market. Oh, quick, Meredith, yeah.
Quick question, yeah. Do you have any concern that we would see lenders walk back from that if that was put onto them? Do you have any concern with that impact on volume from the other programs that are out there?
That's what I wondered. But Scott, can you share a bit more from your experience working with other programs?
Sure, I'm happy to. Thank you for the question. Oh, 90% or more of down payment assistance programs nationwide are lender funded. It's much more common. The two programs, the one that we actually run for Phoenix Maricopa is lender funded. So is the state IDA's program. And so I don't expect, in fact, I think it might be greeted favorably by many lenders just because they don't have to learn or accommodate a different system. The reason ours or this program was set up this way many years ago was because of HUD's requirements, and HUD has since obviously dropped that requirement.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I'm assuming you don't need any input from the board. It sounds like that's a great direction. Or do you need, would you need board support to move in that direction?
I don't think that we would. I just wanted to get it on your radar because it would be a slight change programmatically. You know, CIC has been a great partner in terms of some of the doing the heavy lifting on the reporting and admin. So, you know, in conversations with Pima IDA, it would mean that we would either have to take those on ourselves, which would then we'd have to negotiate that with Pima IDA, or hire a third person, or US Bank might have to, you know, so the reporting doesn't go away magically. We have to figure out what is exactly the cost benefit analysis. It could be that we decide, you know, hey, there's a lot going on right now. We're ramping up all these new programs. Maybe we try to keep things as they are, but just wanted to put it on your radar that this might be a change that would have some impacts with our programmatic operations of this.
Thanks.
Good question, as always. Another product that we could do is add products to our existing programs that increase the chance of fundraising. So a new product it's not new, but it's probably new to me, is very interesting, which is a green mortgages. So they're not used a lot everywhere, but essentially it provides down payment assistance and funding for energy efficiency upgrades, such as solar panels. And so this might be kind of a new product that we add that's sort of shiny. We can do some fundraising around it, get the word out, and it is really kind of in line with other goals that we have, because low to moderate income homebuyers are the most likely to spend the most of their percentage of their income on energy. And so as that gets more expensive, this could really serve those homebuyers very well. So that's something that we're in conversations about with the FHA. US Bank would have to sign on. Pima IDA is already really excited about it. So this is just something that we are looking at ways to respond to this extraordinary market that we're in. Hello, Prashant.
Hi, Drake.
We got a bit of a late start, so feel free to tune me out as I'm finishing up these pieces.
I'm here in the background. I'll put myself on mute.
All right. A little bit of an update with Avanza. So like I said, we're looking to launch this in March. We have a lot to do between there, then and there. We will, you know, again, if you want to, you know, if you want to get involved, one of the ways would be to start talking to people that you think would be strong community members to support our loan committee. This is kind of what we're looking at in terms of the program. And this is actually the one I really wanted to show you. We've been getting a little bit more fine-tuned on the profitability of this program and what sustainability looks like and kind of what our fundraising goals are going to be over the next few years. So I think this is pretty telling. Right here, for the next 3 years, we're going to try to do a 10% increase year over year of the amount of disbursement. And then we're just going to hit sort of a steady rate of, you know, about $1.25 million of dollars disbursed. This line is our program costs, our program expenses. We're going to try to cap those at a 5% increase year over year. these are the amounts of dollars dispersed. So as you can see, there's sort of compound growth as new dollars come in and the interest comes in year between, you know, year six, year seven, we're going to start seeing that we're going to start gaining revenue from the program to build our own loan loss reserve and reinvest this. So as the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation sort of phases out, we're phasing in our own revenue to build the sustainability of the program. Over the next 4 years, we're going to have to raise $4.7 million, which sounds like a lot, but I think it's very doable. So I just wanted to give you a long-term view of what this program is going to look like and impact our budgets. I'm seeing no questions. I want to keep going. Quickly reviewing our finances. Real estate was up because of a number of events that were hosted downtown. So a lot of usage of our parking lots. And we're continuing to have reimbursable costs, and those have started coming in from the city of Tucson. So we are starting to realize some of those reimbursements.
Dre, has there been any update on the property tax issue? I'm just wondering if that was part of that.
No, not yet. We have not received. Very excited. I think everyone on here knows that Chris was able to reach out to the county assessor and indicated that we did not need to be paying property taxes and on our properties. So we are going to see a reimbursement back to 2019. That was as far back as they were going to be able to reimburse us, but that could very well timed. So we're very grateful for the follow-up. I know a number of folks had been asking questions about that for a number of years. And so I'm very glad to have Chris be able to do that.
Take the action to track that down and make sure.
Yes, that down. Find those dollars for us. I think maybe since we did get started a bit late and we have Prashant here now, I'm going to move to potentially skip Chris your part and go ahead and just look in maybe move to the proposal section. Does that work? And then we'll be able to combine our executive sessions together so we potentially don't have to go back and forth. Does that work?
Yeah, that makes
Meredith?
Sense.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's acceptable to me. Absolutely. Right. As long as Chris doesn't have any concerns with that, I'm good with that.
All right, great. All right, so with that and all that fast talking, I hope y'all caught some of that at least. I'm going to switch it over to Prashant and allow you to share your screen and introduce yourself. So I have met with Prashant a number of times. We've actually talked about this proposal in a couple of different meetings. We wanted to slip this in here. This is a bit out of order. Typically, the Property Development Committee meeting would see this presentation first and then bring it to the board. But there's a number of grants that are kind of coming in January. And so we just really wanted to make sure that we were able to provide at least, you know, overview of the project so we can kind of give some next steps to the project. So that's a little bit of background on that. And I want to make sure that you're able to share your screen, Prashant. There you go. And you are on mute.
Can you hear
Take
me now?
Take it away.
Okay, great. Let me do this. Can you see my screen now?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. So I don't know all of you, but my name is Prashant Marate, and one day I hope I have an opportunity to meet many of you. I know Dre actually through a common friend of ours, and our common friend happened to mention a parcel of land that he mentioned was within your control. And he thought of that land because I was talking to him about my passion around trying to help with housing insecurity or homelessness. And luckily our friend put two and two together and put me in touch with Dre. And that's kind of how the whole thing started. So I had an opportunity to meet Dre over coffee. I talked about kind of what I was interested in. She mentioned what this group was interested in. And we thought we had something. And so with that kind of precept, we kept going forward. I came up with a couple of plans and presented those to her. And that's kind of what I'm going to show all of you now. feel free to interrupt with any questions as I go along, but I'll just take 10, 15 minutes of your time and just share with you what I'm thinking of and see if we've got a fit here.
If you could just tell us just a little bit about your background.
Absolutely. So I have been in industry, high tech industry now for about 24 years. I went to high school in Tucson. I grew up in Tucson. I went to college at U of A. My dad was a professor there. My mom was a teacher at Pima College. So I've got a lot of roots within Tucson. And I come back to Tucson. I live in San Jose right now, but I come back to Tucson once every 6 to 8 weeks. So I'm in Tucson quite frequently. And since then, I graduated from U of A with a chemical engineering degree, a master's in chemie, and came to San Jose, worked at Intel for about 10 years, then worked at a startup, then worked at Apple for about 7 years, then worked at Google for about 5 years, and finally took an early retirement so that I could start to pursue some of the things that were my passions. So I'm not retired, but I am able to control time and money a little bit and pursue things that are really meaningful to me. Hopefully that's a good enough introduction. I've got another slide later on talking a little bit more about myself and why I'm doing all this. But hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, thank you.
Certainly. So I titled this presentation, Breaking the Cycle of Housing Insecurity. And it's specifically a proposal around the property at 450 North Main Avenue in Tucson. I'm a firm believer in this quote, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but if you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. A lot of my career has been spent in coaching and in helping others. I'm actually a Dale Carnegie certified coach and spent a lot of time coaching people or teaching people through the Dale Carnegie class as well. So it means a lot if I can show someone how to do something. And that kind of gets me to this giving versus supporting kind of philosophy. Simply providing housing to people doesn't seem to work. I'm in San Jose, and Google had a program where they offered vouchers to homeless people to be able to find hotel rooms or a housing alternative. And they were able to, for a short period of time, get a lot of people off the street. But when the program funding ended, suddenly there were a lot of disappointed people. And the news stories I heard and was witness to showed a lot of people saying, you know, I don't know where I'm going to go. I'm going to have to go back out on the street. A couple of my friends in Tucson have shared with me their anecdotes about the charity programs that they're involved with, where, again, they would bring people in when funding was plentiful. But then as funding dried up and they had to cut the funding off, suddenly these same people hadn't done anything in that interim to better themselves. They had simply taken the money and it existed in a shelter now, as opposed to coming up with an alternative of where to live afterwards. So it's my philosophy that we need to create a program that provides housing as well as the necessary support to help these individuals figure out how to sustain themselves going forward. And my thinking is that with guaranteed housing, many of these people are on Section 8 or have some sort of voucher program. And with the proper coaching that can be provided, we can reduce what I'm terming housing anxiety and help people take control of their lives. So that's kind of the foundation that I'm starting from. The vision that I have is to build a community, and you'll hear that word community come up a number of times in this presentation. Starting small, I want to build a community that supports about 24 individuals, and this includes an inherent support structure. First, the community itself, but second, I want to allow for personal coaching, and I want to allow for business coaching, kind of falling back on my Dale Carnegie experience. Having an opportunity to work one-on-one with the people, having an opportunity to work with them in a group, and also having an opportunity to share my business expertise as others' business expertise of people who may have gone in front of the people who are in the community, trying to share that so that we give them an opportunity to learn and grow from that. And then we really want to encourage three fundamental concepts: responsibility, entrepreneurship and community. So those are kind of the foundations that we're trying to lay or share with others. Our thought is that we could take this property that's on 450 North Main and build on it 16 tiny home-like structures. So these each have a footprint of about 25 feet by 20 feet. So they're about, actually it's 24 feet by 20 feet. So they have a footprint of about 480 square feet. And each of these are two stories. And we've kind of broken it up where we've got six units kind of on the left-hand side and 10 units on the right-hand side. And I'll kind of share with you how we're planning on using this space. We're trying to provide people with a safe area and an area which helps address all of their needs, including health and fitness. So on the left-hand side, we're thinking we're going to put a pickleball court. And on the right-hand side, we're thinking of having a community stage. And we're also planning on having a patio and having an area where people within the community can congregate, maybe even be able to use this with food trucks that we bring in on a Saturday and Sunday, and some sort of live music that we support on the stage, so that the people in the community have an opportunity to help organize and foster this whole activity. And we can draw others to come in and participate from the community. We also want to couple this with the thought that these structures themselves are there to support people who have jobs. So if you come in and you have a job, great. We want to help you keep that job and promote yourself. But we also want to support entrepreneurship. So a couple of the structures that I'm going to show you have a live space at the top and a workspace at the bottom, where that person, if they're an artist or a sculptor or a painter, or they're coming up and developing some sort of skill, has a space that they can actually do some work within it. So that's kind of the thinking, that if we can give each individual, or these 24 individuals, an opportunity to live somewhere securely, promote what it is that they themselves naturally do. If it's a job, great. We'll give you the personal coaching and the life skills that you need to continue that. And if you are an entrepreneur, we want to give you the space to be able to pursue that entrepreneurial activity. I'll dive a little bit deeper and I'll show you how we've kind of structured this. We have one common footprint. So all of these units that I'm going to show you are 24 feet by 20 feet. And we have two distinct floor plans. We have what you see on the left-hand side, which is a two-story, two-bedroom unit. And our thinking there is that we'd have three of those such structures so we could support families. If there is a single mom with a child, or if there is a parenting couple and they have a small child, we want to give them enough space where they can truly make a go of it. We also have in the center eight two-story buildings. So each floor is identical. And the floor has a bedroom in it. It has a full bath. It has a kitchen in it, a closet, as well as a front living room or a studio or some space for them to do whatever they want to do in. And these are two structures. So someone lives in the bottom unit, someone lives in the top unit. So with these eight structures, we could support 16 individuals. And then on the right-hand side, we've got these five one-bedroom live at the top, work at the bottom unit. So someone would have a structure like this on the top, and the bottom would be empty, where someone could use that as a meeting space, a coaching space, studio space, whatever they feel is important could go on underneath. So in this way, we're thinking we might be able to help up to 24 different individuals. If I go one slide forward, you can see kind of the cross sections of these units. In the two bedroom unit here, you can see a little bit how the kitchen is laid out, how we have the stairs going up, how we have the two bedrooms laid out. In the middle, you can see two identical units stacked one on top of another. So one individual can live at the bottom, another individual could live at the top. And on the right-hand side, and I hope you can see this so it's not obscured with all the faces, the bottom is completely empty, which is again the studio space, and the top is where an individual could live and reside. So they still have the same footprint that everyone else has, but they have workspace underneath, which is allocated to help promote their entrepreneurial interests. Okay. If we look at it from a 3D perspective, just to, again, give you some sense of it, this is the 450 North Main Avenue spot. We've got parking here on the left, at the bottom left, and also parking here in the upper right. And you can see how these are kind of structured, 6 in one kind of communal area and 10 in another communal area. You can also see we've got the stage kind of back here. And if we were to have food trucks, they could be up over here. But again, the idea is that we're building a community of entrepreneurs or a community of people who are trying to better themselves and improve their life structure. We're trying to provide them with very stable housing, which is, again, high quality and safe. We're trying to build for them a community, and also trying to build in an opportunity where we can invite the outside community in to perhaps see the wares that these individuals or entrepreneurs might display, and also give them an opportunity to organize and allow others into their community and host these weekly events, or whatever they decide, bi-weekly events, where the community comes in. Maybe there's some live music, maybe there are some food trucks out there, and the community can come and enjoy a food meal and see kind of the community that we've developed here. Just to go into a little bit more on the details, we want to encourage people with jobs, and we want to encourage them for job growth. To do that, we want to help them find jobs. But once they have jobs, we want to give them that additional personal coaching, whether those be one-on-one sessions, whether those be book clubs that we organize where we're reading books that I've found have been meaningful and others might find meaningful. Some way of being able to touch them at a personal level so that they can understand what it means to have a job and what it means to grow in the job, so that they don't just accept a job and stay there. We want them to start to develop that ambition that hopefully will promote them and propel them to a better life. We also want to augment this with some sort of financial planning. A lot of times people are in the situation because they can't put all of the pieces together. We want to teach them how to create a budget, how to manage money, how to save, some of these life skills that perhaps we take for granted, but other people might not have learned, again, which I feel are very, very fundamental to being able to be successful. At the same time, other individuals might be pursuing an entrepreneurial path. That's great. We want to give them a studio space so that they can pursue that and explore that. We want to provide them with business coaching. How do you go find customers? How do you market your product? How do you get in front of others? And we want to create these community events that I briefly mentioned so that we can attract these customers into the community. Again, perhaps with the lure of free live music and food trucks and a good night out that might serve as a way to help these entrepreneurs get a foothold within our community. At the same time, we want to use all of these events so that the people who are living there start to learn how to work together, how to organize these events, and how to make them successful. Because if we give them that sense of being part of something which is larger than themselves, I'm hoping that fosters the sense of community and responsibility that we're really aiming for. And ultimately, I want to create this virtuous cycle of being able to help people overcome this housing anxiety, this housing insecurity. Help them become successful in their careers, help them become successful as individuals, and then give them an opportunity to move out of this community and establish themselves elsewhere so that we can bring in someone else and help them along the same path. And what I envision is after we get this up and running, after 2-3 years, we have some people who are seniors, people who have been and grown in the community, some people who are new to the community, and we create a pipeline so that we can keep helping people over time, helping them become successful, letting them move from the community, and then bringing someone else in. This way, we're not just giving them housing. We're giving them housing and an opportunity to improve themselves going forward. And then creating a way that we can help the next generation of people who need this kind of help. This is kind of the tagline that I created here, which is provide housing and support so individuals can focus on moving their lives forward. I feel that a lot of the programs that I've looked at in the past give people an opportunity, but don't necessarily teach people how to make the most of that opportunity. And that's kind of the gap that we're trying to fill here. So I wanted to quickly kind of just run through that, give you an overview of what I was thinking, what kind of rings true in myself, and kind of what shows you a way that we might be able to use this plot of land that exists in a way that might be a little bit different than what you've seen in the past, and in a way that I hope will create a pipeline to help solve this housing insecurity problem.
Thank you, Prashant. I always have questions, but I'm also chairing the meeting, so
please.
I have some specific questions, and I also want to be respectful, but I do have some questions for clarification, unless there's somebody who's dying to jump in. I think I missed whether your intention on the model is to have these be rentals or subsidized rentals or condo. Like, what is the structure that, from your point of view?
So, what we were planning on having these would be rentals, and specifically geared towards Section 8 housing. The Section 8 program has already figured out that these people are qualified and worthy of this, so we don't have to go through that qualification. And my intent would be to have at least 70% of these be geared towards Section 8. And if I could do 100% geared towards Section 8, I would do that.
Okay.
So that's our intent.
Next question. I'm kind of curious about your separation. Given your vision, I think the piece that resonates with contexts that are somewhat interestingly unique in the community is much more around the live workspaces and the kinds of services to inspire people to incubate. And I would say live work incubators is a model that I thought interesting. But nonetheless, I think your decision was to have some percentage of this is specifically residential, no commercial. So I'm kind of curious why that decision why?
So we went back and forth as a team trying to figure out, well, what's the right mix here? And we kind of identified three types of people. There are some folks who are families. So we'll put that to the side right now. We've allowed for a small amount of family area. But I didn't want to impose on people that they have to be entrepreneurs to be part of this. Some people might be very happy just getting a job and are looking for housing security and then need to learn how to manage their money so that they can go get a better job. But as you pointed out, some people are entrepreneurs and they want to be able to have the space to be able to let that entrepreneurship flourish. So we've come up with this mix of 8 two-story houses that are live only, and 5 which are live and work. Now, you'll notice in the floor plan, the floor plans are identical. So we could make and change that mix very, very easily. If we wanted to remove the kitchen and remove the bedroom, suddenly we have another live workspace. But if we wanted to have it so that we could provide more housing, then we could install a kitchen, install a bedroom, and suddenly have that as well.
Okay.
I'm going to let the market kind of decide how we want to pursue that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then the last question really has to do with clarification on zoning. I don't remember on the property. A couple of different dimensions of that, though. If there, what the constraints are on commercial and the impact on the parking spaces, whether you have flexibility. The reason I'm asking about that live work is I wonder if there's an interesting possibility with, if it's live work in one location, are the vehicles that critical? And is there any flexibility there? Second, that relates to that is if you have commercial enterprises there, if that's a lot, what are those types that are allowed? Right. And what's the impact then on parking? So yes, I'm just kind of curious what you've thought through in that area.
Yes. So what we did was we met with the Tucson Development Council and kind of shared with them our thought here. Initially, we had planned for a separate commercial structure, but the parking requirements for that became just tremendous. So we switched it entirely to a residential kind of model. The parking spaces that we've allowed here meet the residential requirement of however many units we have, including the number of handicap parking spaces. The part that we need further clarification on is if it is live and work, does that change the parking requirements, or are those parking requirements the same? I've already submitted these plans to the Tucson Development Council. They've approved me for a preliminary meeting with them, but I wanted to have this meeting first to find out if this group and this body thought this was a viable plan before I started spending funds on that meeting. Mm-hmm. So that parking part regarding live work is still an open question. But right now, if this was all residential, we have the appropriate parking for that.
Great, thank you. I see, Mike, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Sean, I'm with the city of Tucson, so please, whatever you need from me to help on this as a liaison to the IDA, but also economic development for the city of Tucson, I will be happy to sit in those meetings and help advocate for this development. So.
Excellent. Thank you. I get your email through Dre? Would that be okay?
That is perfect. I'm going to suggest that.
Okay, wonderful. And then maybe if you've even got the time, I'd love to go into some of the details or some of the thought processes or some of the questions we have and get your feedback on it. One of the things I hope Dre will mention now or later is I'm extremely flexible. There is nothing about this plan that I feel so strongly and adamant about that it has to be here. I just see an opportunity right now to help others in this. And so if there is something that you feel would make this better, I'm certainly open to that.
Great.
A golf course, but other than that, that's good.
You know, we thought of actually putting a putting green in, because I didn't mention this in detail, but let me just flip to this if I can find it. We are seriously thinking of having a pickleball court there because we wanted to encourage health and fitness. We are thinking of walking tracks through there so that people within the community understand the benefits of just walking and getting out and being part of the neighborhood. So a putting green is certainly a viable option here.
Great. Sandra.
Thank you. My question is, since it's going to be residential, multifamily, and helping those families or individuals who need to go to that next step, is there, you know, if it takes that family or individual 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, are you eventually going to say, you know, you've outworn your welcome mat?
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why we want to have the personal and business coaching alongside this, so that we can see where they are in the process. If we find that they are just showing up and or just living and not participating, we want them to have known up front what kind of community we're trying to develop. And we want it to be in writing that, listen, we're expecting you to participate, to do these kind of things and have these kind of checkpoints. Otherwise, your lease will not be renewed. And we do want them to know that we want them to leave us. We want them to grow and benefit and ultimately go out into the larger Tucson community as stable, productive citizens. They can still take their Section 8 housing and go do something else with good reference from us. But we do want to keep this as a pipeline, not a stagnant area.
Great. Prashant, another question. Have you had any interactions with the neighborhood association at Presidio right next to this?
I have not had any formal interactions with them. In my trips to Tucson, I just came back actually from Tucson yesterday. And prior to that, when I was out looking at the land, I had an opportunity to talk to a couple of the neighbors very informally. And I mentioned they asked me, well, what are you doing? And I told them very honestly, I was thinking of doing something like this. And I even solicited what they were looking for, what had been discussed in the past and whatnot. Their big thing, as far as I could tell, was, you know, having it be something that would fit within the community, not something that would be a sore thumb. or stand out tremendously. Everything that we are proposing here, I don't think I got one right here. All of these structures are, we didn't do a great job on the computer, but are Adobe-like structures. So they'll fit very nicely within the community. They're not expected to stand out. They're supposed to be, you know, that kind of architecture, which you see in there. But beyond that, I have not had any formal discussions with any neighborhood association.
Any other questions? I'm sorry, Adrian, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, if there wasn't any more questions, just, you know, another thing that we have been talking about is that this would be a long-term ground lease arrangement. Prashant has expressed interest in exploring multiple options of financing this, whether it's like a ground lease or also is open to discussing purchase as well. If we can find an agreeable price that works with the project overall. So there was, that's another area of flexibility. And that was a unique structure. There's not a lot of folks that are open to long-term ground leases. So I wanted to at least get this on the table before the board because of that unique opportunity.
Sounds great.
I think the big thing is trying to make sure it works financially. And even if it's a combination of, well, let's lease it for a period of time and then buy it afterwards after the initial development expense has been taken care of. That's good too. I don't want this to not fly because of funding. I want it to fly and have a chance. And then if it works, we have a template that we can use elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just have a quick.
Go ahead, Judy.
Judy and then Chris.
Yeah, what's the timeline on this?
Okay. The timeline is not 100% clear to me yet because of all the permitting that is required to go through with the city. We have a lot of things that have to be done first, getting an excitement level from this body is going to be key to go through with the city to understand we're going to need sewer, water, electric, all of that infrastructure is going to have to be put in. So there's a lot of infrastructure that has to be put in. I think I even have a next steps kind of slide here. Give me one second. We have to kind of figure out, yeah, right here, the second bullet here, the grading, the utility tie-in, the infrastructure. We've got a good sense of what the unit costs will be, how much it'll take to build one of these units. We've talked to one or two contractors. I myself am very experienced in the construction phase. So we know how much it'll take to do all the interiors of the building. But once we get the permits and once we get the infrastructure laid out, each of these units will take about 3 to 6 months to kind of put in place. So we could maybe build 6 units at a time and get those to a point where within a year, those 6 units are done and ready to go. Mm-hmm. So permits plus a year is kind of the short answer.
Right. Thank you.
And Chris, you had a question?
I think he answered it. I appreciate it.
Great.
Okay.
Can you share a bit more about those partners for this?
Say that again?
Can you share a bit more about your partners that you've been in communication with about this project?
Sure. I've started talking to a couple of people. First, I just wanted to, I put together the slide on the team. I'll draw your attention to the last bullet here. There's a company within Tucson called Dunright Services. They do all the HVAC, electrical, and plumbing that we would need. Not on the slide because I haven't formally gotten their agreement. There are two general contractors who have expressed interest in not necessarily being the general contractors on this project, but acting as advisors. There is another general contractor who has expressed interest in actually being the general contractor, laying the foundation, laying the framework, and putting on the roof. My team itself would be responsible for everything on the interior of it. Once the electrical is there, all of the drywall, all of the kitchen installation, all of the bathroom installation, and all of the bed and other infrastructure inside of it. And then the part that we have not yet addressed is who would do the physical infrastructure of the sewer tie-in, the electrical tie-in, and the water tie-in. That's kind of an open question mark. And I wanted to have the discussion with the city of Tucson first before I started approaching contractors with stuff that I'm not too familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. And Prashant, the stack, Dre, do you have the stack that could be shared out? I saw that one of the pages had an email as well on it. There's details of it. Could this be shared?
Absolutely. I think, Dre, you've already got it. I'll just share one slide that we haven't talked about here that will be in the backup. I don't think I have this one.
I just have those images on the thing. So.
Oh, okay. You might just have to hit refresh on that because I've uploaded all of these slides to that. And then
then I will get it.
And then you can simply just add their emails to the share and then everyone will have access to it. I'll just share this slide just so that I will have spoken to every slide you will see. I tried to put down why me, why now, and why this. The why me part is I've had a great run in high tech. I've learned a lot from them. Project management experience. I was at Apple. I was the project manager for the first generation MacBook Air. So I've had experience bringing together a variety of different people and then create a product at the end of it. I've also had a good run at Google, specifically Google X, where we try to come up with these crazy projects, including Internet for Everyone or these far-fetched, far-flung ideas and trying to make those and turn those into reality. I've partnered with a company that you may not have heard of called Not Impossible Labs, trying to help solve things like memory care. Why now? Right now, it's a great time for me in the sense that I've got all of this construction experience. And my time in Tucson has clearly shown me that this housing crisis is real. Every street corner that I drive by, there are at least 4 to 6 people there. And it breaks my heart to see the city that I grew up in be that way. And why this? I want to make a difference and I really want to leave a legacy. And something like this, I think, could achieve that. Being able to create this structure and being able to have it outlive me, I think is something that really is something I want to strive for. So I just thought I'd share that with you. Now you'll have seen every slide in the deck.
All right. Thank you so much. I think this is really pretty exciting and really appreciate the passion you're bringing to the community. We're glad that you grew up here and have an interest in coming back to do great work here.
Yeah.
So, Dre, I'm assuming that we would vote now to go into executive session to have a closed discussion on this. Is that correct? If there are no other questions, I haven't seen any. Monica, I know you're in motion. I just want to make sure if you have any need that you have questions addressed.
I'm good. Thanks, Meredith.
Yeah.
Excellent. Then I will stop sharing my screen here. Let me just make sure that works out. And I will thank you for your time and your energy regarding Tucson as well. So that's very inspiring to me as well. Thanks you. And Dre, I'll wait for any additional questions. You and I can chat later on and I'll be happy to follow up. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Right. Thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah.
All right. So Wendy is going to move us into breakout rooms. New approach
we'll
here.
We'll have to do a vote first.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Entertain a motion. Sandra?
Second.
Judy, seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We shall move to executive session and in the breakout rooms.
All right.
I actually love this breakout room strategy. Thank you. It makes it so much easier.
Okay, I think we're all back.
All right, we have returned to general session. It is 4:46 p.m., December 15th, 2022. The Chisholm IDA roll call.
Judy Klinko.
Sandra Barton.
Monique Elaine.
Meredith Aronson. And we are back in session to talk about any actions regarding the property development proposal. We didn't discuss who might like to make the motion, but I could entertain that or I could make the motion, whatever you guys want.
Why don't you make the motion, Meredith?
Okay. I move that we direct staff that they might move towards a memorandum of understanding or a letter of intent with regards to the proposal from Prashant Marathe with regards to 450 North Main. Three items that we'd like to see in that discussion before that would sort of return more formally into those structures are, number one, the long-term land lease. Number two, a clear understanding and engagement with the Neighborhood Association for Presidio. And third, clarification on any zoning limitations that would impact the overall concept for that proposal. So that would be my motion. Do I have a second?
I second that.
We'll have Judy.
Go for it, Sandra.
Second. Sandra, who was second. Any discussion? I'd just like to reinforce, I think it's a really great project. Andre, thank you for organizing that and bringing it to the board. I think these are the kinds of things that we like to see move forward, if in all ways possible. And so really great opportunity. So thank you. All right. Vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
So looking at our time, we have limited time. I think one thing that I would like to get on the attention of the board is we have for the last year engaged a lobbyist, Veritas, our contract time is coming up. We have typically paid, it was $47,000, and they are looking to do a 10% increase this year to cover additional staff and costs. I called around to other IDAs to see. Judy had an interesting idea that maybe we potentially join a coalition of IDAs in Southern Arizona, that we all sort of jointly promote our interests at the state level. Pima IDA is not interested in joining a coalition like that because they actually, their lobbyists are shared with the county itself, which I thought was interesting. So I contacted the city of Tucson and said, would you be interested in entertaining a similar arrangement where should we have need for additional representation at the state capitol that we would be able to lean on the city of Tucson's state and federal lobbyists? They are interested in pursuing that. So I just wanted to offer that as an additional option. And
interested in pursuing, meaning that they're going to talk more about it or that they definitely think that this is something they want to do?
It seemed like that it was there wouldn't be too many barriers for that to move forward.
Okay.
Is there an assumption with that, with some cost sharing so that we could be assured that topics of interest specific to the IDA could be moved forward?
I think that would be part of it. I mean, the county doesn't charge the Pima IDA for that because they have sort of a blanket use. I would sort of pursue a similar line if we wanted to do that with the city.
So question I saw in something I was looking at was sort of the interaction with the ACA with regards to Veritas. And I guess I'm just trying to get a sense realistically, because I'm not close to that. Have we seen outcomes from or the quality of the, I mean, lobbying is lobbying, we know that. But at some level, I'm kind of curious how committed they are to the outcome. I've had this conversation at the table in the last year as well. How successful have we been in working to try to surface priorities and getting motion on them?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I would say, I asked them sort of these questions as we were going to move forward. One, you know, what do we look to as metrics of success for lobbying, and what can we kind of point to? They indicated that really in the past they had seen their position as almost insurance, like you don't really use it until you need it, so that hard metrics and returns on investment are difficult in the lobbying space. They said it, the IDA specifically, that they had mostly been in that defensive role until they, you know, we were more proactive in saying, I want you to pursue SSBCI. I want you to pursue CPACE. I want you, you know, so more specific things. And so they were saying just in the last month, there's been more opportunity to be more proactive. I would say that it's been difficult because, you know, it's difficult to say what additional resources that's bringing to the organization, given that some of those relationships are very similar that we have. And so it's, I don't know that we have necessarily realized exceptional differences because of that relationship in the past year.
So you would reinforce the existence of the relationship is the value to us. The city has those lobbyist relationships with public officials and therefore can be far more efficient and cost effective for us. If I were to summarize what I think I just heard, right?
I am worried about the cost for us organizationally. This is a difficult year. We have a lot of things that we want to invest in. And so I am definitely looking at this as an item that I, you know, given that we can't see specific returns on investment, it's something that I think should be considered as, is there another way that we can accomplish this that is more cost effective?
Well, we could always see how it goes with the city if they're amenable. And then we could offer, it would be great if it was a zero cost, and that's fine with them because we're trying to accomplish the same things for the city. And if not, if there's an investment in the conversations, and then if we feel like it's not sufficient, we could always return to Veritas or some other organization. So I don't think there's a downside to the choice. That's what I would say from my seat.
So Agreed. Given the size of the contract, this is something that I would ask the board to vote on, whether you'd like to pursue it again or renew, or maybe pause for a while, check it with the city, and then try again, maybe.
Do you feel that the city is essentially in the yes, we would allow you to have access, UDRA to have access to their lobbyists for topics of interest?
I would say yes. I'm actually even meeting with our federal lobbyists and the city of Tucson on some Green Bank issues. So I've already kind of seen that being in play.
And do you need a clarification from anyone in the city that that's acceptable, that if you had something specific and wanted to outreach to the lobbying team, that that would be acceptable? Do we have a firm commitment there, or do we need that?
We would need to shore up the commitment, I think, more formally. I have a couple of things that I really want to push for that I think that would be effective for lobbyists to push forward, which is really specifically to some specific policies. And given the mayor's position on the Hobbs advisory team, that's almost the most direct way. That's kind of where I'm at. I do think that it could be firmed up, but I do think that given our relationship and our connection with the city of Tucson, it makes sense since our mission is fairly aligned on the things that would be relevant for policymakers.
So as a board, would we be comfortable saying contingent on that being made more concrete, we would support non-renewal for now of the Veritas contract? Would that be acceptable to the board?
That'd be acceptable to me.
Monica? Okay. Monica, do you have an opinion on that before?
I agreed with your first statement. Sorry, it took me a minute to figure out how to unmute. But yeah, no, I don't think there's a downside to it.
Okay. I would support a motion if we want to move forward.
I'll make a motion to get with the city of Tucson first before renewing our contract with Veritas for the coming year.
I'll second.
Discussion. Yeah. I feel like that's a confusing motion. I'm sorry, because it sort of says before. Could you amend it to be very clear that we would we are directing staff not to renew contingent on the city.
Yes, I am amending my motion that we are directing staff not to renew the contract with Veritas and looking to move forward with the city of Tucson. Right? Did I do it right?
Right. Okay. Contingent on the city.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, do we have that motion in a way that we could use, Wendy? Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second it again.
Monica, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Motion passes. Thank you all. Sorry, Sandra.
It's okay. It's okay. I have to leave. Is there anything else that I need to vote on?
I think we're ready to finish up.
Yep, there's a call to the public. There is no public, and I would take a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Meredith.
Yes. Thank you.
I second that.
All in favor. Aye. Thank you all. What a lovely
everyone. Happy holiday.
Monica, thanks for coming. Yes, Monica,
we love you for that. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye, Chris. Happy holiday.
Thanks, Judy.